We're going to end our series this morning that we've been looking at on bridges and barriers, and barriers being those dysfunctional habits and faults and defects in our life, and bridges being those pathways that God uses to enable us to grow closer to Him and to become more shaped in His own image. And today we just sort of finish this up, and then we'll look at a Thanksgiving one and do some Christmas series on some very favorite movies that we watch during Christmas time. But this morning, how many of you know what that is? DIY. Do it yourself. I mean, we have all sorts of DIY things today. DIY networks, DIY blogs, DIY channels, DIY magazines. Do it yourself. And you can learn how to do it yourself. Build your own fire pit. Maybe make your own bench. Make your own shelf. I don't know what it might be. Tile your bathroom and grout it. Now, it might not turn out the way that you want it, but at least you're learning how to do it yourself. But that's what it stands for. And we all need in some ways to be do-it-yourselfers and a little self-sufficient. But, you know, I want to talk this morning how it is that you can't always do it yourself. You need somebody else to help you and to assist you in that, especially in the spiritual life. And I think about this book that was written by an author. How many of you recognize the name Dr. Seuss? Okay, we've all read Dr. Seuss. And you've read it to your kids or your grandkids, or maybe you just read it for yourselves and for your own pleasure. But green eggs and ham. I'm not certain I want green eggs and ham, but nonetheless, he wrote all sorts of books. But one of the last books he wrote was, Oh, the Places You'll Go. And I want to just read a portion of this morning, if you'll bear with me, because I think it's so cool, so appropriate to what we've been looking at. He writes, Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Now, I like that because it says, we've been talking about how we need to admit our brokenness and to admit our own defects, and we need to make choices. And so you can choose to steer yourself in any direction that you choose. When you're on your way up, you'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll be on top of the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but so sadly it's true, that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up on the prickly perch and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in the lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. I like that phrase, unslumping yourself is not easily done. And so when we stop and we think about DIY, do it yourself, spiritually speaking, we cannot DIY. In fact, it's not another journey that we go on in the Christian life to somehow DIY yourself. You can't do it. I need Jesus. And you need Jesus. And the whole steps that we've been looking at is that I admit that I am broken, that my life is in a mess, and I admit that there's a power greater than me, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who can help me unslump myself and find my sanity once again as I live my life created in the image of God. Now today we're going to look at two more steps, and the first one is restoration step number 8. I yield my life to God's purposes, and I take steps of obedience no matter what the consequences, knowing that obeying God brings ultimate blessing. And notice again, I yield my life to God's purposes. I take steps of obedience, no matter the consequences, knowing that God brings ultimate blessing. And it's true, obedience brings blessings. But how many of us, we hesitate to take the steps? We might know that there's the ultimate blessing, but we refuse to take the steps because we're not quite certain what's going to happen. And so there's several reasons why we don't take these steps. One is just plainly because of fear in our own life. How many of you have ever dropped your kid off, or maybe when you had a child, or maybe your kids dropped their kids off to you and, as a grandparent, and they're going to stay overnight, and lo and behold, they forgot to bring the child's pacifier or security blanket. You know, that's a real traumatic event, isn't it? The child, oh my, what goodness, what are we going to do? I forgot the blankie, I forgot the pacifier. Well, just stick the thumb in your mouth or something. I don't know what it might be, but I forgot it. And it becomes a real crisis mode in our life. And I talked about how it is that sometimes these things that we deal with, these character defects and dysfunctions or addictions or whatever it might be, are like our security blanket. We hold on to them because they provide us with an identity. And so we're afraid of giving them up. Sometimes we're afraid of taking that first step because we're not certain where it's going to take us. Some of us are afraid of taking these steps because we don't want to be called a religious nut. Because if I'm a religious nut, nobody's going to look at me and they're going to, oh, you know, just sort of just, you know, he's just a cuckoo on the head, whatever it might be. But we're afraid of taking the steps because of what it might cost us in our life. Secondly, we equate our intentions with our own action. We intend on doing something. We intend on taking this step. We intend on, you know, making our lives better in the grace of God. But we never really take the step. We never really take the action. And we feel like we've taken the action, but we haven't. We only intended on doing this. We only intended on going to church. We only intended on reading the word. We only intended on praying. We only intended on admitting our own brokenness. We never took the action. And then thirdly, we feel that we might lose something. In other words, there's a cost involved in the steps that we take. When you take those steps of obedience, there's always a cost. And you will lose something. Jesus said very simply that whoever wants to save his life needs to lose it for the sake of the gospel. And so if you want to save your life, there's something you're going to have to lose. And in our life, there are times that if we deal with these character dysfunctions, we might lose something. We might lose our reputation. We might lose our convenience. We might lose our comfort. You might lose some friends. But I'm going to be very honest with you this morning. There are some friends we need to lose. All right? Because those friends do nothing more than to sap the very life out of us. They're like leeches who draw upon your very existence to consume you and to keep you from being the person that God wants you to be. Now, I'm not saying you don't love them any longer. I'm not saying that you don't talk to them any longer, but you need to be very careful because some friends are there to use you and abuse you and take advantage of you, and they will keep you in your chains as long as you want to be in your chains because they have become dependent upon your addiction or your character dysfunction. I will tell you what you will also lose. You will lose your ability to have guilt in your life. You will lose your guilt. You will lose your fear, you will lose your anxiety, you will lose your purposelessness. Why? Because you'll begin to enter into the peace of God that passes all understanding. And those are things I want to lose. I want to lose my guilt, and I want to lose my pain, and I want to lose my suffering that these things bring. Lee Strobel is a journalist. He worked for the Chicago Tribune for many years, and he was an atheist. He didn't like God, didn't like this thing called Christianity. And one day, his wife came home and confessed to him that she had received Jesus into her heart. And he said, I was absolutely upset, I was angry, I was irate, because now I was going to have to deal probably with some sexually repressed prude who was going to go out on Skid Row and help all the poor and give all of our money away, and our marriage was probably going to come to an end, and I didn't like it one bit. And yet I noticed something in the ensuing months. I noticed that there was a change in the way that she related to and treated our children, and the way that she treated me. I noticed a change in her character, in her ability to love. She was so winsome and so attractive. And I began to say, you know, maybe there is something about this Jesus thing. And so I began to investigate this person called Jesus and this thing called Christianity, but I was going to disprove him. I did not believe that Jesus existed. And I thought Christianity was a fraud. So I began to investigate it, and then I discovered that Jesus was real, that Christianity is real, that God is alive. And of course, he began to write a series of books. Some of you have read them, The Case for Christ, The Case for Creation, The Case for Faith, and numerous others that have actually defended the Christian faith. But he stepped out in faith, and when you step out in faith and trust, friends, trust is about choosing to act even if you don't know the outcome. He stepped out and he discovered that Jesus Christ was real. I also go back and I think about a series of movies. And perhaps these movies are old, but, you know, I'm old, so hey. You know, but anyway, you know, the Indiana Jones movies. I love the Indiana Jones movies, you know, all but the second one. I don't like the Temple of Doom. It creeps me out, okay? But I do like the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I like The Last Crusade. I like those. And I've always wanted to be an Indiana Jones, you know. I love archaeology, but, you know, I didn't want to be an archaeologist who sat down in the dust and took a paintbrush and brushed off dust off of a piece of pottery. I wanted to be an Indiana Jones and discovered the really good stuff, okay? Like the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail and the really good stuff, okay? And I love to look around in my attic and my grandpa's old sheds trying to find. I would have made a great American picker, you know. I love to look for this old stuff. That's why I also, by the way, love to watch The Curse of Oak Island. How many of you have ever seen that? Wow, I would love to be with the Louganis brothers because I would, you know, like to go up there and look in the money pit. Because who knows what's at the bottom of that money pit. They haven't invited me, though. But anyway, Indiana Jones, okay, he's on the last crusade with his dad. And they've come to the Lion's Head, this cave. And, of course, the Nazis and Himmler, they're trying to find the Holy Grail as well. They were into all sorts of stuff like that for the use of using it for magical purposes. But his dad has become wounded. And Indy must pass through this cave, this booby set of booby traps, to get to where the map says he needs to go, to the leap from the Lion's Head. And he gets to the edge, and there's this chasm. Across the way, there is this entryway, but how is he going to get there? There's this huge chasm. I want you to notice that Indy knew the bridge was there from the little book that he had, right? But he trusted in that leap of faith, really not a leap of faith, it was just barely a step of faith, because the bridge was there all along. He just nearly needed to reach out and just take that step to affirm it in his own heart and life. But as he reached out, he took that step of faith. Again, faith and trust is simply, you know, you go out and you trust the outcome regardless of knowing whether or not the consequences are going to be good or bad for you. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you take this step of faith. You yield yourself to God. You yield yourself to God. You take that step of faith knowing that it brings ultimate blessing. He's able to eventually retrieve the Holy Grail, the Grail, bring it back, and of course his dad is made well from pouring it from the chalice onto his wound. But nonetheless, it's that trust that we have in our heart and life. We need to yield humbly to God. Now here's the next step, if you will. Having had a spiritual awakening, coming alive to God and his power and presence in my life as a result of taking these steps, we sought to carry this message to others. Having had a spiritual awakening, and we've come alive to Christ as a result of taking these steps, I'm broken, you know, my life is a mess, I admit my need for God, we seek to carry this message to others, to others. I think about Jesus when he said, therefore, go, go. See, Greg, that's the reason why I want to sing, Go, Johnny, Go, okay? Therefore, go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us have a message. Let me go back and just recount to you the story, of course, of Bill W. The story, of course, is the founder of AA. And I've said from the very get-go that I've taken these steps and we've reworked them because at the very beginning, you have to anchor these steps in the Word of God. You cannot divorce these steps and make them secular or make them whatever they want to be. They must be anchored within the Word of God itself to be workable and practical. But Bill W. found himself at Calvary Episcopal Church in New York City. And he was sitting underneath the pastorate of Sam Shoemaker, who was a man of God. I mean, Sam loved to share the gospel. He loved to tell people about Jesus. He loved to disciple people into faith and to lead them on that journey, that Christ journey. And Bill W. was sitting in his congregation one day, and Sam had preached on the brokenness that we have and how we need to have Christ in our life. And Sam stepped forward, or Bill stepped forward and admitted that he was broken, that he had a mess in his life, that he could not correct it, that he was all screwed up and that he could not resolve it. And he took that step of faith and he admitted that he needed God. And then he made that fearless moral inventory of himself and he began to examine himself and ask God to search his heart. And he began to take those steps of faith in his life. And you know, the greatest fear of any one of us, and this is one of the reasons why we don't take these steps of faith, is because we're afraid that what if I take the steps and then I do fail? What if I let somebody down? What if I let my parents down? What if I let my spouse down? What if I let my kids down? I've took the step of faith and become a Christian, and now I stumble and fall. I want to tell you something. If you stumble and fall, the Bible tells us that God will pick us up again. If you stumble and fall, he will reach out and he will pick you up again and he will say, you know, take the step of faith again. Just start over again, one step at a time, one day at a time. Well, Bill W. took these steps and he began to experience this liberation in his life, this freedom. And then he found himself in a hotel in Akron, Ohio. It was around Mother's Day, and all he could remember was that decades earlier, his mother had deserted him and left him. And he was feeling sorry for himself, he was feeling lonely, and he was feeling afraid. And he was feeling the need to have a drink. But he knew if he drank, he would probably die. And this then, a very interesting thought came to him. He said, you know what? I want that drink. I think I need that drink, but if I drink, I'm going to die. He said, I need to find somebody else who is in the same situation as I am, somebody who needs these steps and who need God in their life. And in the result of that, he found a man by the name of Dr. Bob. And he shared the story of his faith journey and of these steps with Dr. Bob. Many people believe that the steps that he actually created came from St. Ignatius and the spiritual exercises, but that for another day. But he shared the story of his faith and of his journey and how he would found liberation with Dr. Bob, and Dr. Bob got saved. Dr. Bob gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now here's what I want you to understand this morning. Dr. Bob, or Bill, did not share the story with Dr. Bob in order to save Dr. Bob. Bill learned this strange truth that if you share the faith story with someone else, you may not only lead that person to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but you will also continue to remind yourself of who you are in Christ and redeem yourself, save yourself. Very simply, when I carry the message, when I find someone else with whom I can share my story, when I find another person who has a need where I might be able to help them, something happens within me that helps strengthen me. And in sharing that story, I remind me of the forgiveness that I have experienced in Jesus Christ. I begin to remind myself of the love of God in my own life. I begin to remind myself of the grace that he has shown me. And it not only strengthens me, but it also contributes to the deliverance of someone else in their own heart and life. Sharing the story is not for me or for others, it's primarily for me. So again, when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. Again, we admitted our brokenness. We admitted we could not unslump ourselves. We surrendered to Christ, care and control. Now we begin to tell others of God's news and the love of God. And very simply, it's this. You share the love of God with somebody else that you know, and you share and you serve them in the name of Jesus Christ. Very simply, every single one of us in this room have a story. Every single one of us in this room have a message. And that message might mean or might be nothing more than I'm a victim. I'm not responsible for the way I am. My parents are to fault. My friends are to fault. My circumstances are to fault. My job is to fault. But I am not to fault. And that's our message wherever we go. I'm a victim. Feel sorry for me. Or it could be I'm a winner. I'm a competitor. And I don't care who it is that I step on. I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to rise and I'm going to be number one. And that's our message. I pray this morning that our message as a body of Christ is this, that we're nothing more than sinners saved by grace. That we're sinners saved by grace. That grace wins. That God's love is true. That God's love is real. So everyone carries a message. Everyone has a story. What's your story? What's your story? What's your journey all about? Somebody, friends, is waiting for you to share their story with. And as you share that story, not only will you help them to enter into the life-giving principles of the Word of God, but you'll remind yourself of who you are and of how Jesus Christ has redeemed you and made you a new creation in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Very simple steps that we have, but very difficult. But I can't unslump myself. I need God, and I need you. You need God, and you need each other. We're in this together, amen? And as we walk this world, we cover each other's back. We walk with each other. We protect one another. I was getting ready to go to bed last night, and The Blind Side came on. I like that movie. How many of you remember The Blind Side? And of course, Big Mike In there, Michael basically says to his mother who adopts him, Mrs. Tui, says, I've got your back. I've got your back. And that's what each and every one of us need to say and encourage each one of us with. You know what? The world can come against you. The world can attack you. You might fall prey to temptations and all sorts of testings. But I want you to know, I've got your back. I've got your back. And if you fall, I'm going to be there to pick you up. I'm going to be there to walk with you. Because we're in this together. We're going to cross Jordan together. We're going to win with God together. You know, and we take that step of faith with him. Praise God. Grace wins. Amen. Praise us, Lord. We come to you today. And we thank you and we praise you for your great love. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, pour out your power upon us. Pour out your spirit upon us. Enable us to know that blessings come to those who yield themselves to you and to take that step of faith, that trust. The word says it's real. And as we step out in faith to you, Lord, we find the blessing, the blessings that are truly theirs in the heavenlies. And then, Father, I pray, we have a message. We have a story. Nobody can take away our story from us. My story is my story. You know, our story is our story. We all have a story to share. I know that sometimes we're afraid of sharing that story, but hey, nobody can refute my story. I know what Jesus Christ did for me. And so, Lord, help us to be bold in sharing our story. We don't have to have a lot of fancy words. We don't have to have a lot of principles and steps, Lord. We just basically need to say, you know what? This is where I was, and this is who I now am in Jesus Christ. And in sharing that story, Lord, we find strength, and someone else finds your love. Father, I pray, equip us to go into all the world in Jesus' name. Amen.